Father, we thank you for what you've already spoken into our life today, for the encouragement we have received, for the understanding that you love us. I pray as we look at your word again that you'll help us grasp it, not just in our heads, but really deep in our hearts. Just come and reveal to us all that you want us to know about yourself this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you join us, you join us kind of in the middle of a series that we're calling Setting the Captives Free. It's based on some of what Jesus is saying. So many of the other sermons are already on the website, and we can give you the link. And Philip often puts them on the WhatsApp group as well. So there's ways to plug into those. So forgive us if you're kind of trying to pick up. But what I want you to do is, the kids can help us with this as well. What do you see? Not all at once, Sophie. Gorilla and a lioness. And a tree.
Fish.
Grace, you need glasses. Put your glasses on if you can't see the fish. Everyone see fish? Bernard, do you see the fish? No? Let me see if I can point out. Okay, so you see the gorilla? Yep. Everyone see the lioness? Everyone? You see now, Zoe? See the tree? And just for Grace, see the fish, Grace? Oh, she's got her glasses on now. Eh? Sometimes life teaches us lessons that we have to put our glasses on so that we can actually see properly. Sometimes life teaches us lessons where we have to change how we see things. Because sometimes people identify things a lot quicker than us. Maybe it took you a while to see all four things. But how we view things is critically important in our relationship with God. And sometimes we have to change our mindsets and change our ideas about those things. One guy had actually said that before I got married, I had 6 theories about raising children. I don't know why that hasn't shown properly. He said, before I got married, I had 6 theories about raising children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. And all of you who are parents know that when you're a single person, you can raise anybody's child. It's easy. And then you have children, and suddenly all the theories kind of go out the window. Sometimes we have to change perspectives, but I believe that's true about Jesus as well. One of the things that Jesus said was that he came to set the captives free. He came to set those who were oppressed free. One version says, those that are bruised. That's the literal translation. And what that actually means for us is those who've been bruised by life. By past mistakes, sometimes by criticism, sometimes by fears that have crippled, sometimes by wrong teaching, sometimes by physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual handicaps. And these are the things we've faced in life. And Jesus comes and says, I want to set you free. That's the perspective we have. But of course, lots of people think that's not what the Bible says and that's not what Jesus is about. But that's what he said he came to set us free. As a church, we believe we want to be a place of refuge for people who have faced brokenness in their lives, who have faced that sense of lostness, who don't have peace, who don't have that sense of reconciliation with God primarily and then with other people. We want to be that ark of refuge. It's on the wall. You can see it. We want to be those people who have answers for those who are searching for healing, for those needing restoration. No matter how bad your past has been, in God your future is brighter. Amen. Because God is primarily a God of hope. So many times in the Bible it talks about God being a God of hope, and we need to know that. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God is a hope for us. But that might mean us changing our mindsets in order to embrace that. It might mean some changes in us. And a little bit last week we left the children of Israel on the edge. If it was a blockbuster, it would be the end of season, or it would be the one just at the right end, and you know, oh, they're going to make another one. we left God's people right on the edge of the promised land, and we looked at some stuff that they needed to do about the promises in order to live up to their potential in God. It was going to be time for them to move on, leave some of the mindset of the past and move on. It was time to possess the promises. God had made very clear promises to, I'm giving you this land, and they needed to go in and possess it. And the principles of that was, it was a process, little by little. And that's how often God works in our life, little by little. We want it all as a download, don't we? But God works in us. He's patient with us. He works through process. So possessing the promises can take time. And it's time to take responsibility. And the responsibility we need to have is for our own spiritual lives. We can't delegate that to anyone else. And we saw that last week, and you can look at that. But we're going to turn to Numbers 13 and pick up the rest of the story. And many of you will know it. For some of you, it will be unfamiliar. So let me just read a little bit of it for you. Children of Israel are on the edge of the promise, and they are about to send spies out. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel in the wilderness. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large, are fortified. We even saw giants there. Verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there to live. All the people we saw were huge. We saw giants in the land, but we appeared like grasshoppers in our own eyes and also in theirs. See, they had this great potential. They had this opportunity to go and possess the land, and they all saw the same things. They all saw the challenges, no doubt about that. They saw there were fortified cities. But only two of them saw them with the eyes of the promises of God. So it's not often what we see, it's how we see that's important. And how we see is often determined by us. So in one version it says, the land you sent us to. That's a completely different switch from what God had said. He said, I'm giving you this land. And so now they're backing off. You know, when people start to say something, like politicians, they start to make these promises, and then a week later, not even a week later, they kind of qualify it. This week there was this British Rail, they had this European wide pass, and they were withdrawing it. And then 24 hours later, after howls of protest, they had to reinstate it. Sometimes that happens in our mindset because of how we actually see things. The key verse is in verse 33 because it was what was in their minds already. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes and also in theirs. And I want to encourage you, and there's been a little bit of a challenge in that this morning, that actually how we view things is really important. The Bible says that as a man thinks, so he is. You will never rise above the level of your own thinking. It doesn't matter what anyone else says about you. It doesn't matter what God says about you. It doesn't matter how many times we pray for you. You will never rise above the level of your own thinking about yourself. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. A man is not defeated by his enemies, but by himself. Isn't that true? A man is not defeated by his enemies, but by himself. And so how we view ourselves is really important. And I think we need to change some mindsets about ourselves. If we're going to step into that new season, the last I talked about, then we're going to need to change our mindset about ourselves, first of all. We need to change our mindsets about ourselves on the issue of rejection. I can tell you from 25 years of pastoral experience that I reckon 40% of the pastoral problems I deal with have roots in the issue of rejection. Maybe even higher. I think I might be conservative on that. 40% of our problems in pastoral life are to do with issues of rejection somewhere in our life. Maybe it's been parents. Maybe it's been teachers. Maybe it's been relationships. Maybe it's been someone who's been a symbol of authority. Maybe even in church life. Because that can happen too, can't it? We have to be honest about that. And we've felt that sense of rejection from people. That sense of not feeling good enough. That sense of feeling that we don't measure up. And somehow we take that sense of shame and rejection on ourselves. But that's never the way God intended us to be. We had that perfect relationship in the Garden of Eden. Adam, your namesake, had a perfect relationship with God. But when sin came in, it says that he hid from God and he was afraid. Because that's what sin does. It'll separate us. It'll cause that barrier. But it was never God's intention. God's intention was that we have that relationship with him. That we have that sense of acceptance found in him. But so often we try and get that in other places, don't we? We try and get that in other relationships to fill that need and that void in us. And what happens to us is what happens to the children of Israel. So if you read on in chapter 14, so they have this report that comes back. 10 are saying it's bad, 2 are saying it's good. Then the whole community, chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 1, then the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. These are the people that had journeyed with them in the wilderness. These are the people that had taken risks for them. These are the people that had served them when they were rebellious and grumbling and murmuring. And here they are again. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complain. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? See, the problem with when you feel rejection is it leads to rebellion. If you have roots of rejection in your life, it will lead to rebellion because you start wanting to keep people at a distance. You start wanting to keep God at a distance because he will come and he will expose those things in your life for your own good, for your own health. But it's so easy to complain. Why is God doing this? Why has God brought me here? Why is this? Why? They complained all night. They cried all night. Can you imagine this great chorus of protest against Moses? When we don't deal with rejection, it leads to rebellion. If you need to get free in your life, maybe that's a root issue for you. Because if we feel that we face rejection from others, it actually ends up us rejecting ourselves. Where we begin to hate ourselves, where we begin to despise ourselves, where we begin to say things like, I'm no good, I'm rubbish, I'm never going to make it. And those are the conversations we have in our mind. But that's like someone getting a knife and they're in the kitchen. I quite like cooking. I'm okay at it. But imagine me getting a knife and by accident cutting myself and then going, oh dear, I've cut myself. Okay, let's get this knife and make it a little bit deeper. Of course. What a stupid thing. You're not going to do that, are you? But you do it to yourselves in your mind. You beat yourself up. I say, oh, I'm rubbish. I'm useless. I'm worthless. I'm never going to make it. How could I do that again? You wouldn't do it physically with a knife, but you do it to yourself spiritually and emotionally. And some of you need to stop that because it's feeding that sense of shame. It's feeding that sense of rejection. It's not what God wants in your life. The key to your breakthrough is not changing church or changing location or changing relationships. People have tried all of those. The key is changing your mindset about yourself, first of all. Jesus actually talked about it. He said, why do you try and take the speck out of your own eye, out of someone else's eye, when there's a plank in your own? Take the plank out first and then you can see properly. And one of the planks some of you have in your life is this issue of rejection. You think people reject you, and maybe you've experienced that truthfully, and you begin to reject yourself, and then you think, well, God has no time for me. God has no place for me. How could my life be like this if God's for me? You need to change your mindset. One of the things we asked last week was that you ask yourself two questions. What negative thoughts are influencing or hindering your life? I guarantee you, roots of shame and rejection are in there somewhere. But what spiritual truths can set you free from those strongholds? Because they become strongholds in their life. Don't rush past those questions. You need to spend some time in honest reflection, because I know what the Bible says about us. I know what the Bible says about who we are. And this is what it says. Paul writes to a church. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are rich, and his glorious inheritance. Some versions word that in such a way that you would think that we have an inheritance. And we do, of course, we're joint heirs with Christ. But in this particular verse, what God is saying is that we are God's inheritance. Amen. Isn't that an amazing truth? So God isn't dismissing you. God isn't casting you aside because you've made mistakes or you have history. Listen, we all have history. Amen. And I'm not talking about internet history. We all have history. We all have stuff that we wouldn't want projected on this screen. Let's just be honest about this. We all have it. But God comes and he says, if I've called you, if you belong to me, if you're born again, then you are my inheritance. What a great truth. See, when my parents died, from both of them, never received anything. In fact, it cost us. It cost us. I didn't get any inheritance from my family, but I know I have a spiritual inheritance. Amen. But even better, I know I am God's inheritance. Amen. The Bible goes on to talk about the fact that we are God's possession, belonging to him. What a great truth. Why should we feel rejected? Why should we feel abandoned? Why should we feel forsaken? We're not. It's not what God says about us. But we need to change our mindsets on that. We need to change and see what God actually says about this. I have a practical handout for some of you. I think there's probably about 30 here. Won't be enough for all of you, but I'll be putting it on the WhatsApp group as well. But particularly, if this speaks to you, if this is an area that you want to sow into, there's some daily declarations, some prayers, some stuff specifically for women, some stuff for men. It'll be on the front row. Please take one, and then I'll put an electronic copy on the WhatsApp, because we have to change our thinking to accept and believe what God says about us. And that's the battle. See, the biggest battle isn't out there. It's in here. The biggest battle is what goes on between our ears, what we say about ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe God says about us. And that's where we need to change our mindset, particularly on the issue of rejection. But I think there's one more. And it comes out of this story as well. These are some of the things that are on your sheet. We'll put the notes up on the website and on WhatsApp as well, so you can follow up with that. We also need to change our mindset about ourselves on the issue of self-sufficiency. So we're back in Numbers chapter 14. Let's pick up at verse 36. The 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land, the ones who had incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, were struck down with a plague before the Lord. God takes murmuring and gossip very seriously. You read the New Testament as well. They were struck with the plague before the Lord. Of the 12 who had explored the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. When Moses reported the Lord's word to all the Israelites, the people were filled with grief. Then they got up early the next morning and went to the top of the range of the hills. "Let's go," they said. "We realize that we have sinned, but we're now ready to enter land the Lord has promised us." Have you ever done that? Have you ever been presumptuous? Have you ever come back and thought, "Well, I know I've done wrong, but..." But Moses said, "Why are you now disobeying the Lord's order to return to the wilderness? It won't work. Don't go up to the land, Lord. You'll only be crushed by your enemies because the Lord is not with you." Do you know what, folks? One of the things we have to break in our own life is not only rejection, but self-sufficiency. Because we can get to the place where even God says, "No, don't do it." And we think that if we cry, if we have a little bit of grief, then it's okay, we go and do it anyhow. But if God has said no, we have to listen to Him. We can't come with our own self-sufficiency because they got their butts kicked. Read the story. They got taught a lesson and then they had to go into the wilderness for 40 years. The good news is that God bought them back and they went into the promised land. And that's the hope that we have, that God calls and will refine messed up people. God uses ordinary people like us to fulfill His purposes. The kind of people God uses, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, the weak, the foolish, the things that are counted as nothing by the world, so that He gets the glory. Not people of noble birth, but ordinary people. Sometimes God will use painful circumstances to bring about our spiritual growth. He is a good, good Father. And just as I did with my children, sometimes they had to learn lessons. And that involved pain. So that they would grow, so that they would learn, so that they would take that sense of responsibility. Sometimes God has to do something powerful in you before He can do something powerful through you. And part of that process is us letting go of our self-sufficiency. Of letting go of our pride of thinking, "I can handle this." Have you ever said that? "Don't worry about this one, God. I've got this." Sometimes we can do that. God wants to break us of our self-sufficiency. There's a famous Christian called Watchman Nee. He was a Chinese Christian who was imprisoned for 20 years for his faith. No satellite television on a snooker table. This was a Chinese prison, 20 years in desperate circumstances. And in his book, The Breaking Out of the Outer Man, he says this: God's hand is doing only one thing in us, breaking us. We cannot have our way. We have to take God's way. We cannot have our thoughts. We have to take God's thoughts. We cannot have our decisions. We have to take God's decisions. But that's a challenge to many of us in our mindset, isn't it? Because in our mindset, we're in the driver's seat. We're in control. And maybe we let Jesus be the passenger if we're really good. But for many people, they use Jesus and God and religion like the spare tire. They only bring them out in emergencies. But God doesn't want to be a spare wheel or even in the passenger seat. He wants to be in the driving seat of our lives. And that means us being broken of our self-sufficiency, of us doing things our way, of us wanting our own way. And that's challenging, isn't it? Because we all like to get our own way. Come on, you're in church, you have to tell the truth. Yes? Yes? We like to get our own way, but that's not going to work with God. One of the great characters in the Bible is a guy called Peter. He only ever opened his mouth to change feet, it seemed to me. He was always getting it wrong, wasn't he? He was proclaiming great things. "Jesus, I'll follow you even to death." The same night he betrays Jesus 3 times. He swears at a teenage girl who challenged him about being a follower of Jesus. Jesus knew what he was really like. And Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to have to be broken, of your self-sufficiency. You're going to have to be broken of a pride. In fact, one time he said to Peter, Luke 22:31, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And the language that's used there isn't just Peter. The plural, the you is plural. In Northern Ireland, we would say, and in Scotland, we would say yous. Yous. So it doesn't come out for us so much in English, but he's not just saying to Peter, he's saying, all of you, Satan wants to sift you. This is a spiritual battle you're in. He wants to take you out. But he says to Peter, but I've prayed for you. But I have prayed for you. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. What a great message to us. That when we let go of our self-sufficiency, when God comes in and we allow ourselves to be broken, that Jesus doesn't condemn us, he doesn't criticize us. He says, I'm praying for you. And not only am I praying for you, when you come back, you have a work to do. God has a work for you to do. Doesn't matter if you feel broken. It doesn't matter if you feel you've wasted time. God has a work for you to do. But it's going to mean we have to rely on God more. Through suffering and faith, our faith can be tested. Peter knew that from his own experience. That's why he said God wants to test our faith so it's genuine, so it's like pure gold going through that process. The challenge is, do you have the skills, the patience, and the depth of spiritual life to survive the sifting? Do you? Do you have strong roots? Do you have that sense of who you are in God, of who you are in Christ? Will you be able to survive the sifting that will come? Make no mistake about it. If you haven't gone through it, if you haven't gone through it yet, there will be a time where God will come and he will want to break the outer man to release what's in you. That's his way of working. Embrace it. Embrace the new thing God wants to do. That's what the Bible says to us in Isaiah 43. He says, do you not perceive it? Can you not see that there's a new thing rising up? And that comes out of not a new strategy, but more surrender. Amen. See, for most of you, you don't need a new strategy for your life or more goals. You don't need more strategy, you need more surrender. And that's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to bring out of your life. And that's the challenge where we have to change our mindset. What do you need to change in your mindset about yourself? What's your next step? See, for some of you, it may be a course called Christianity Explored that will just unpack the Christian faith for you in a systematic way, and you can make an informed decision of what it means to follow Christ. We'll be starting one in September. I have some leaflets here for you. For some of you, it may be prayer ministry today that actually this message, while it's made you uncomfortable, has really penetrated your heart, and you know, do you know what? I need prayer today. I need help. I need hope. At the end of the service, in a few moments, we're going to give you opportunity to just come to the front and receive prayer. There's a number of us are happy to pray for you. We believe that as you do that, you can encounter God and receive that fresh experience of God, to know God is with you. For some of you, maybe that'll mean committing to daily declarations. Maybe the battle is in your mind. Maybe the battle is in your mindset of how you view yourself. Maybe you have been in that place of rejection, of even self-hatred, of shame that God doesn't want you to be. Maybe you've been in that place of self-sufficiency. Ryan, would you come and lead us in a song? And this song will just give you an opportunity. It may be new to some of you. It will give you an opportunity to really focus on what we're saying today. That God wants you to know what he thinks of you, that he wants you to be in that place of experiencing his love and his power and his hope that will change you from the inside out. I can't do it, Faith. I can't change myself without God's help. So I can't change anyone else. But with God's help, change is possible.